Greetings, everyone. How's everybody doing tonight? Good, good. I'm doing great. Doing great. Well, I appreciate y'all's, y'all letting me come up here and speak to you guys tonight. What a wonderful audience. It's good to see all you guys. Like he said, my name's Matt Wolf. I preached a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago now. And it was a pretty cool experience, but Pastor Mike asked me to do it again, so I'm honored and privileged to do so. We're going to pass around the offering bag. The box? Okay. And if you guys felt led to give, you know, we're going to pass that around now. Get back to God a little bit. Oh, it's on the back table. Okay. All right. Well, if you guys have anything to give, you can. There's a box in the back that you can drop it in. There we go. You're good. All right. So can we bow our heads? Let's pray and get started. Dear God, we come to you tonight and we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, as a family of believers. And we thank you for the fellowship that we can have, Lord. And we ask that you just speak to us tonight, Lord. And we lift up your name and honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight, I want to share my testimony that I had a couple weeks ago. I know you guys had the chance for all the guys that had went to the retreat for Harvest a couple weeks ago that I didn't really get a chance to. I had someone pass away in my family. I had to go to their funeral, so I wasn't able to make it. But I just want to share a little bit of what I learned when I was away. Or what I experienced, but I had a great time. It was much needed. It was a time to get away and spend with God, and a little bit of fellowship with the guys that I hadn't really, you know. I got a chance to get closer to them, and you know, at the encounter, it was an awesome experience because just God just opened my eyes and made me realize, you know, some of the stuff that I was holding on to that I didn't have to anymore. And they had mentioned taking the hammer, the sledgehammer, and breaking down the wall that, you know, to get you from, you know, experiencing God's full, you know, grace that he has for you. And, you know, it's was much needed, and I'm so glad that I went because I was able to let go of a lot of things that were holding me down. And you know, just lifting it up to God and just, I made, you know, some mistakes in my life, and I carried a lot of that with me, and it weighed me down. And just going to the retreat and just talking to God and just spending time with him, he was able to lift that from me and take it from me. And it's just an amazing gift that he was able to do for me, and, you know, just an awesome gift that he has for each and every one of us through his son Jesus and the gift of his salvation. But it was just an awesome experience, and I just am glad that I'm able to move forward and just have a new perspective on things and not hold on to things that, you know, that God's able to handle, control, you know, if you just let him. And he's a forgiving God. He's an awesome God. And I encourage you to, if there's anything, you know, that you have that may be weighing you down, to grab that hammer and break down that wall. One of the illustrations they had said was that somebody had one of your children or one of your loved ones on the other side of the wall trying to hurt them, and would you just let them, or would you take the hammer and break down the wall to get to them? So I thought that was a pretty cool illustration. But I'm glad that I went and had a great time. And I'm sure the other guys had some good testimonies too, because God's presence was surely alive at that place. But I also would like to just take a moment and speak a little bit about, you know, when we live our lives, you know, a lot of times we want to put the focus on us when we should be really focusing on God and what God wants. And if we just hold on to that and live every day for God, then he makes us a better person. And it's just great to be able to experience that in my walk. But I want to pray again because I want God to really just focus on this point of just letting all of our cares and, all of our concerns and just lifting it all up to Him and letting Him just take over and really just work in us and help us to just live an honorable life for Him. Because we owe it to Him, and He wants to bless us, and He wants to use us in this life, and today I want to really just focus on that. So God, we come to You today, and we thank You, Lord, for Your forgiveness, Lord, for the gift of Your Son, Jesus, and what He did for us on the cross, Lord. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, and we thank You for that, Lord. We just ask that You help us to focus on You tonight and every day and help us to really just use the gifts that You've given us, Lord, to show others You're amazing. And, Lord, we just, in this tough times in this world, Lord, we ask that You just use us to be a light for You. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so if we can get the first verse up on the slide, that'd be good. All right, well, today we're going to go into the Bible a little bit, and we're going to talk about basically the overall subject is living by Christ's example. And in 1 Peter, it says, in verse 15, it says, "It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil." So one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight was, some of the things, distractions that we have in this life. Like the media, like some of the movies that are put out, you know, some of the songs and stuff on the radio that distract us. And I don't know if you remember the last time I preached, I talked about children and them being so important to God. And it's our responsibility that they, you know, are raised properly. And as I had an opportunity to be raised in the church and, you know, have that Christ example of the way He walked and the way He lived His life so early at an age, I'm so glad that I did. And a lot of kids and a lot of people nowadays don't have that. And that's part of the problem that, you know, that we experience today in this world. But we have to stay strong and we have to do our part. And that's one of the things that I kind of wanted to point out was, you know, all these movies and stuff that are just poisoning, you know, the younger generation's lives. It's just like, you know, if we do our part in this little part that we're in without, you know, if we're not on the big screen like some of these people, you know, then if we can make a difference in one person's life, then them, you know, showing all this, you know, negativity and the wrong way to live on the big screen, then isn't that more honorable to God? If one person is won over for God's kingdom, then, you know, 1,000 who get humor out of some way that we shouldn't be living. And one of the things I want to talk about was, like, how popular some people are. Like, for instance, Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie. How they get all these viewers and everything for these movies. It's just like, what if they were spreading God's word? And what if they were starring in movies that spread God's word? And, you know, if people really had an interest to go see them, how do we get the word across to the world who is so caught up in, you know, unrighteous living? You know, how good would that be that instead of what is so appealing to those who, you know, may not know God's word or may not know what righteous living is, then how do we get that word across? So, you know, it starts here. It starts, you know, with us, with the family of believers. And we as Christians, we have to do our part, as I was saying. And reaching others for Christ by living honorable lives is a good way to do so. So growing the church so that everyone can do their part. I want to, one verse that I didn't put on the slides that I wanted to share was Ephesians 4. And then, let's see if I can pull it up here. It's talking about the unity of the body of Christ. Okay, so in verse 4 it says, it's verse 7. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Then down in verse 11 it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. All right? I could continue on and say, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I love that verse. I was reading the Bible one day and I saw that, and it just makes sense as to what our purpose is here. And I just wanted to share that verse with you. But if we go to the next slide. Then on in 1 Peter chapter 2, it goes on to say, in verse 20, it says, but if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. So, living a righteous life is living by Christ's example. Living God's holy word is the Holy Bible, and it's living. It's always been alive. And, in the church, we can find out ways to live a righteous life, how to be what is, honorable to God. And in life, we have choices, and sometimes, we struggle to make the right choices. And but God can help us through that. And if we choose God, God is good. And our body is a temple, if you guys have ever heard, that through the Bible. So what we bring into our body, this is God's body. He created us in his image. So we have to fill our bodies with what's pleasing to him, what's good in his eyes, instead of our own eyes. A lot of the times, ever since, Adam and Eve ate the apple, there's been sin entered the world, and there's been sinful nature. And one of the things we're going to talk about next is, choosing to let the Holy Spirit guide you instead of your sinful nature. So we could go to the next slide. Excuse me. So back in 1 Peter, in the beginning of the chapter 2, it says, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. And if we can go on to the next one too. In James, it continues on, and it basically talks on the same kind of idea. It says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Okay? So, that's one of the things I was talking about, and is the younger generation soaking up all this, evil that's portrayed throughout it, whether it's, the radio or the movies, and it's our responsibility to teach our children and the younger generation the right ways. But if we go on to the next slide. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. When your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So, as you know, Jesus never sinned. And he's the only one that never sinned. So, of him, taking our sins and giving us the gift of salvation, we owe him, the way we live our lives. And he tells us that. It's very important. So if you go on to the next one. All right, so in Galatians, it talks a little bit more about the Holy Spirit guiding your life. Okay, and we get, a lot of distractions and throughout our daily lives that if we just focus on the Holy Spirit and choose the Holy Spirit to fully develop us into mature Christians, we can experience the full gifts that God has for us. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it goes on to say, but the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives. This kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. As I was saying earlier, I'm so happy that our God is a forgiving God, and he's a merciful God. And I had the chance to watch that movie Noah this weekend. And I hadn't planned on watching it, but it kind of fit together with what I was planning on preaching about. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Noah, but a lot of people have their opinion about it, and from what I learned about it, it's not exactly what I was taught about the story of Noah, but it does have a lot of the same points, and it does make a good overall look on life, and it talks about the Creator, which our Creator is God, it talks about, you know, his mercy on us. For it starts out at when Cain killed Abel in the New Testament. And then Seth was born. And then it continues on as to the people of Cain and then the descendants of Seth. And Noah continues on. He was the descendant of Seth. And, God comes to Noah in a dream and tells him, you know, and shows him that God was going to destroy the world because there was so much evil in the world. And, this is serious, guys. It is portrayed well, I guess, in the movie, as in that part. Noah really, you know, he kind of knows what he's got to do, but then he doesn't really know. So then, you know, he appears to him in a dream again and tells him, or shows him that he needs to build an ark, you know. I'm not too sure if it says in the Bible that he appeared in a dream, but it's the same concept as God spoke to Noah and told him that this was going to happen. And so he did. So he built the ark. At the same time, all the evil people in the world were trying to not, well, I guess Cain's descendants, you know, were all doing evil. And it shows Cain's descendant coming and trying to take over the ark or take over God's plan. And I guess what I saw from it was, you know, God's in control, man's not in control. And Noah was letting God do what God wanted him to do as the other people were trying to take control of their own lives, which is a good point as to, you know, some of the things we, you know, the way we should be living our lives. It's just like sometimes we desire our own things when we should be, you know, we should want to do what God desires. This should be our main focus. And, you know, it's in a different scale, but at the same time, it's what God wants. So, can you guys hear me all right? Okay. So we were watching the movie, and, you know, it comes to the part where, I don't mean to spoil the movie for any of you guys, but Noah's sons, one of his sons, and his wife, she's unable to bear children, and she ends up having two twins, and I'm not sure if that totally happened, you know, but it's just the concept of, you know, the main point that I saw of God's mercy on us and giving us a second chance. And Noah was determined that he had put all these animals in the ark, and God's purpose was, that there wasn't going to be any humans left on the earth, and but his family was convinced that was God's purpose, was God was destroying so he could start fresh. So that's why God flooded the earth, and he wanted Noah's descendants to multiply and do good. And but Noah didn't see that, and he was going to kill the offspring of his sons because he was determined that God, you know, was going to, that God didn't want any more humans on the earth, which I'm not sure if that's what really happened, but again, it's the concept of when it came up to him, he had the choice whether or not to spare their lives or to kill them. Because there was only sons left. There wasn't any girls left. So, you know, the world wouldn't continue. But the main point was the family saw God wanting to give us life, to give us new life, to give us a fresh start. And Noah ended up sparing them because all he saw was, you know, two precious children, you know, and, you know, but going back to where Cain killed Abel and all that, it's, you know, it's just like that was wrong. The world just went crazy, and it was just evil in the world. So God had to get rid of it. But I do want to show, is there any more slides? I think there's one more slide. Is there one more, Stacy? Or? Okay. All right, so this is the one verse that I wanted to finish off with is 1 Peter 2. It goes on to say, you know, and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. So when we leave all of our mistakes and leave all that behind us and let God forgive us and live life to the fullest by his Holy Spirit, then we experience, you know, joy in all those fruits of the Spirit that he has to offer us. And I just want to show you this clip that from Noah that kind of shows God's mercy for us. So if we could go ahead and play that. This is right after the they found land and all this happened.
Will he come back?
Some things cannot be unbroken.
I have to know. Why did you spare them?
I looked down at those two little girls, and all I had in my heart was love.
And why are you alone, Noah? Why are you separated from your family?
Because I failed him. And I failed all of you.
Did you? He chose you for a reason, Noah. He showed you the wickedness of man. I knew you would not look away. But then you saw goodness too. The choice was put in your hands because he put it there. He asked you to decide if we were worth saving. And you chose mercy. You chose love. He has given us a second chance. Be a father. Be a grandfather. Help us to do better this time. Help us start again.
That was a clip where, you know, Noah Whitten, you know, she kind of just told him, you know, why God had chosen them, where he was kind of struggling with understanding why. But, so I hope you guys, you know, got a little bit out of this, you know. It's good that, you know, as a family of believers that, you know, we're able to come together in this fellowship and, we feed off of each other, and that's much needed. But I hope that you can take this with you and, you know, be able to just look at the real joys God has for you, and he has forgiveness for you. So if anything that's holding you down or anything, just take that hammer and put your faith in God, and he'll get you through it. And just keep going as the time goes tough. But if you would, let's just pray and let God and the Holy Spirit lead us. Dear God, we come tonight and we thank you for your mercy, Lord, on us. Lord, for sending your son Jesus so that we could have life eternal with you. Lord, we ask that you be with us in our daily lives. Lord, we help that we ask that you help us to be a light for you in the way we live our lives. We ask that you, give us what we need to perform your will, Lord. We ask that you use us and guide us with your Holy Spirit. And we ask that you just, Lord, get us through the tough times and help us to keep our focus on you. Help us not to get distracted by worldly things. And help us to just keep pushing on and experience the fullness of your grace, Lord. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.